Well, we have come finally in our trek through the foundations as we lay one stone at a time. We finally reached the last two, which is one of my favorite things to talk about. The resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. I just love those two topics. As a matter of fact, a long time ago, you know what the first book of the Bible that I finished reading from cover to cover in one sitting? Book of Revelation. I just love these two topics. We have been trekking through these six foundations. If you recall, the first two foundations is a personal conviction. It's something we do individually. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. That's something we do individually, but our Christian faith does not stop there. We move to the next two, or the next couplet, which is talking about our corporate life, our community life. That is the baptism and also instruction about laying on of hands. And now, as we reach this last two, it talks about our committed life. And these two topics, the reason why I love it so much is because it gives me the incentive to be more committed. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, to excel still more. You love? Good. Excel still more. You have faith? Wonderful. But excel still more. And these last two is that very motivation to help me be more committed. The resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. But today I want to look at the resurrection of the dead. See, there's one thing at least we all have in common. There's one thing that we all share. No matter of gender, no matter of age, no matter of race, no matter of social status or religious belief, every one of us must face death. That is a given. Death is a certainty. It is a reality that we all must deal with one day. We can't avoid it. We can't escape it. We can't hide from it. Death will find us out. Hebrews 9:27 states that very thing. It says that it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. But for us Christian, there is offer something that is different from everyone else. For us Christian, there is an offer of hope that no other religious belief can offer. It is the offer of the resurrection of the dead. Resurrection of the dead is only found within the Christian faith. Nowhere else. Why? Because everyone dies, but not everyone resurrected. And if anyone can escape death and be resurrected, they have power over something that no one else can have power. And hence, all the religion, no resurrection. It's mute, it's powerless, has no ability. But the Christian faith, and the reason why I'm standing here today and believe in God is because of the resurrection. Christianity is the only religion that promised resurrection and the only religion that demonstrates resurrection occurs. Through the first fruit, Jesus Christ himself. It is this hope that we have. It is this hope of being raised back to life. And this hope that we have is in God through Jesus, who will raise us to life, because God raised Jesus to life, and therefore we know for certain God will raise us to life. This hope that we have is not wishful thinking, by the way. It's not, oh, I hope. No, it is an assurance that we have that God will raise us back to life. It's based upon a historical fact that Jesus was resurrected from the grave. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3 states this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his grace and mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Did you get that? What we have is a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We who are in Christ have this hope. And it's not a dead hope. It's not a feeble and foul hope. It is a living hope. It is hope that is active. It is hope that is alive. It is a hope that actually affects us and is found only in Jesus Christ, nowhere else. That's why I am so motivated, and that's why I love this topic about resurrection and eternal judgment. It is the only promise, the resurrection is only promise to those who are in Christ. Did you know that not even the Old Testament saint ever mentioned a promise of resurrection? Did you guys notice that? You guys ever notice that in the Old Testament, as you read through the Old Testament, there's not one teaching about the promise of the resurrection to the Old Testament saint? Not once. None. Let me clarify. What I mean is that there's no promise written to Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or any of the faithful fathers that they will receive the resurrection. Now, there is one time mentioned about the resurrection. That's found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, Daniel 12, 2. But that resurrection mentioned in 12:2 is a promise to the church. It's not promised to the saints of old. So what we have is something very unique, something very special, something that makes us a chosen one. I love what William Barclay says. William Barclay notes this. In the Old Testament, there is very little hope of anything that can be called life after death. He ascertained correctly. Nothing about life after death in the Old Testament. He continues, according to the general Old Testament belief, all men, without distinction, they all went to Sheol after death, where the dead lives a shadowy existence without strength, without light, cut off alike from men and from God. The Old Testament is full of this bleak, grim pessimism regard to what happens after death. You don't see it. It's only found in this new covenant. Listen to some of the ways the Old Testament and the Old Covenant describes death or Sheol. Psalms 30 verse 9 states this. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will I tell of your faithfulness? See, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there is no profit in death, the Psalmist wrote. Listen to the words of Isaiah. Isaiah says in Isaiah 38 verse 18, for Sheol does not thank you. Death does not praise you. Those who go down to the pit do not hope for of your faithfulness. There's no profit in death. There's no hope in death. There's nothing. Let me read you one more. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, 5, and 10. The teacher wrote this. But he who has joined it with all the living has hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living knowing that they will die, but the dead knows nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memories of them is forgotten. Whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. For there is no work or thoughts or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Now, how comforting is that? It is very dismal, very bleak. But in the new covenant, where we are right now, we have this precious promise that is found only in Christ. And hence, it is one of the foundation of the elementary principle of Christ that is found in Hebrews chapter 6. Move on about the teaching or the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead. But before we delve into this elementary doctrine of the resurrection, we'll take a look at that next time. What resurrection really is, and who is resurrected, and what does it look like, and what our resurrected body would be like. Before we delve in those things next time, I'd like to take a step back and discover the effects of the resurrection on us who believe. In other words, because of the resurrection, there are certain things of knowing about this doctrine, of studying this doctrine, has on us. It changes us. It affects us. It moves us. Let me give you just a few right here, specifically five things that why we need to study about the resurrection and why its foundation is so important and why studying the resurrection make us more committed to Jesus Christ. Let me give the first. And I already mentioned this. The resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection gives us hope. That's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It states this. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring him those who have fallen asleep. Did you get that? We do not want you to grieve as those who do not have hope. See, the believer in this church in Thessalonica were mourning. They were grieving. Why? Because many of their brothers, many of their sisters, many of their family and friends have been put to death. They have been put to sleep, if you will. Why? As you read Thessalonians, you find out it's because of their faith. Because of their faith in Christ. See, Paul did not tell the Christian not to mourn or not to grieve over a loved one's death. We are to mourn. I mean, it is natural to grieve over someone who has died, especially those whom we loved. Because death is not part of God's will. God didn't create us to die. Death is the result of sin. Never really originally what God wanted it. So it is natural for us to grieve over those whom we have lost. The memory of them, the absence of them in our life. We grieved. But we don't grieve without hope. We grieve with hope. We are to grieve, but we grieve with hope. We are to grieve, but that grief should not overwhelm us because of the resurrection. Only Christianity offers that, the resurrection. And a couple years ago, my cousin, who passed away, her last request to me was that I officiate her funeral. And I didn't want to do it. Weddings, I love it. Funerals, I don't like it so much. I hate going to funerals. But that was her last request of me, and so I flew all the way to Kentucky to officiate the funeral. And I hate funerals because I don't know what to say to people, right? They come in, they're crying. How are you? What do you mean, how are you? How do you think I am? You know, you just don't know what to say. But what makes it bearable is one thing. She's a Christian. And because she's a Christian, there is, even in our mourning and our time of grieving, a certain hope. And in her funeral, as I talked to those who are in it, we didn't want to always mourn when there's no hope. We talked about the great thing that she has done. We talked about the life that she lived for God. In there, we share stories of her and how she stood the test of time. She stood the faith, how she lived the faith in her life and how she taught her faith to her son. And even her son, I gave him a part in the funeral service, but he read a scripture text because there's hope for those who are in Christ. There's hope because of the resurrection. There's a silver lining in this service. And as we grieved, and we did, and as there were tears, there were also smiles and joy. Why do we grieve with hope? Let me give you three reasons why we grieve with hope. First, because death is temporary. Death is temporary. See again, verse 13 and 14. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, of those who are asleep. See, the Bible used the word sleep to describe death. Both Jesus and Paul actually talk about death, and they use the word sleep. And the reason why they use the word sleep is because sleep is temporary, while death is permanent. And when you look at the Bible verse and those texts, every time they mention sleep, there's always something afterward that talks about the fact that they will once again awake. I list those verses in your Bible, in your notes. I don't have time to go over it, but read every one of them. They're asleep, and right after that, they will awake. Because sleep is temporary. Death is temporary for the Christian. The second reason why we grieve but with hope is because those who died are with Jesus. Those who died are with Jesus. It's not a bleak, dismal thing. It's not a pessimistic thing. They are with Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 14 of chapter 4? God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep. They're not dead in the grave somewhere. They're not locked up in some kind of prison. They're with Jesus. And that's why Paul says, I am hard pressed between the two things. You know, I'd rather die to be with Christ. But yet again, I need to live on so that I can bless you. To die is Christ. And to die is gain, Paul says, because we are with Jesus Christ. That gives us confidence to live for Him. That makes us untouchable, does it not? But let me give you the third reason why we grieve with hope. Because those who died in Christ have more honor than those who are alive when Christ returns. Let me repeat that. Those who died with Christ are honored than those who are alive when Christ returns. Look at verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For we declare to you by the word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ will rise up first. And then those who are alive afterward will be caught up with the dead. The dead in Christ will raise up first. That's the order. Now some people, you read some commentary, they say the reason why the dead are raised before the living is because they have at least 6 feet to go. You know what I mean? 6 feet to go and then we caught up. No, that's not the reason why. You read the context. These people died in faith. Died because of the faith. They are honored before those who are alive in Christ. That's the idea. They rose up first. They come first. They are first to be resurrected. There is honor for those who died in Christ. So the first reason why the resurrection gives us confidence to live is because it gives us hope. But let me give you the second reason. The resurrection gives us comfort. The resurrection gives us comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, the conclusion, encourage one another with these words. Paul says that, you know, I see you guys grieving. I see you guys mourning. I see you guys are sad. Comfort each other with these words. Christ will come, and we will be resurrected with the dead. The resurrection brings us comfort. Because when Christ returns, we will be with him forever. The resurrection brings us comfort. Because we will see our loved one once again. I remember, I don't know if I shared this story, I probably shared because it's just a story that touched me. Oh, my brother's not here today. I remember a long time ago, my brother, I love him to death. I just think he's such a great guy. You know, I just really love my brother. Maybe because we're closer in age, because I feel like he's my twin. I just love my brother to death, and I just sometimes feel sorry for him because, not sorry, I feel compassionate for him because he's such a good guy. And sometimes I feel like people are using him. And I remember a long time ago, I was working really hard to get him to know Christ. But of course, my mother said that, you know, told me, specifically warned me, never to preach the gospel to my brother. Because, you know, she want my brother to, you know, bury her in the Buddhist way. Matter of fact, I didn't realize until later that she actually came to my brother and said, do not become a Christian. Do not become a Christian because I need you to bury me in the Buddhist way. And of course, that inhibited my brother becoming a Christian. And I shared with him the gospel. I asked him to come to the small group. And I preached to him. Until finally, one day in a small group, he lives in Dallas at this point in time. He came back here to Houston. And he came to my house church. And I was just sharing the house church. And I told him to bow their head. And I said, lift your hand if you want to receive Christ. And all of a sudden, his hand went up. And I was shocked. You know, one of those things that you don't know what to say. You know, he just kind of stood there. Okay. Well, he said to Christ that day, And I was just so moved. And I talked to him a little bit. But then the next day, I had to take him back to the airport. And this is a time when, remember back then, we can actually go through the gate. You guys old enough, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You actually get to go into the gate. Now that they stopped you at the gate, it's the security, you can't get in unless you have a boarding pass. But back then, we were allowed to go past the security, into the gate, even though we don't have the security. Yeah, we dated ourselves. You dated yourself. And so I walked there, and I took my brother, I drove up to the airport. He told me, just drop me off. I said, no, I'm not going to drop you off. I'm going to go into the airport with you. So I parked, walked into the airport with him, just talking to him. And I walked into the gate and stood there with him until he walked into the plane. And I just stood there on that window looking at his plane. And I started crying. Sorry, I got misty. I got misty. I don't cry. I got misty. And I looked and I just thought to myself, no matter what happened to him, no matter what happened to this plane, I will see him again. And it brings me so much comfort. See, the resurrection brings us comfort. The resurrection brings us comfort because we know we're going to see each other again. But more importantly, we know we're going to see Christ again. Let me give you the third thing about the resurrection. Not only does the resurrection give us hope, the resurrection gives us comfort. But notice this third thing. The resurrection gives us endurance to suffer. The resurrection gives us endurance to suffer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 30 to 32. Paul writes, "Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought the beast at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we will die." See, Paul asked the question, why do I place myself in danger every single day? Why do I fight the beast at Ephesus? He's talking about the leaders, the beasts, the rulers. Why do I fight with them and get all this persecution from them? Paul says, because of the resurrection. If the dead are not raised, because of the resurrection, I continue to fight. I continue to die every single day. Because if there is no resurrection, why am I doing this? Let me eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. See, we endure suffering because we know that there's something better at the very end. We endure persecution, and we endure standing strong in our faith because we know in the end, there is something better to come. If there isn't, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just have fun right now. For tomorrow we will die, and there's nothing left. And Paul even mentioned that. If there is no resurrection, and I'm living for Jesus Christ, I'm the foolish person of them all. You should pity me. Don't laugh at me. Pity me. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, right? You should pity me, verse 19, because I live for nothing. I serve for nothing. I endure persecution for nothing. Jim Elliot, in his journal in October 28, 1949, actually, he wrote this in his journal. Really encouraged for those who write in the journal. He wrote this in his journal, his own meditation. He never thought that one day someone would pick up his journal and read them, and that his word would be immortalized forever. On October 28, 1949, before he went off to become a missionary and died as a missionary, gave his life to bring the gospel to, the indigenous people, he wrote this in his journal. "One of the greatest blessings of heaven is the appreciation of heaven on earth." In other words, heaven is just not something in the future. Heaven is now on earth. That is the Ephesians truth he wrote. And he continues with this one sentence. "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that's the word that for some reason immortalized forever. And he's right. We're no fools if we give up everything we have here, because we're going to lose them one day through our death. to gain something that we can never, ever, ever lose. And I think in his notes, if you read it, he's talking about people. He's talking about the eternal value. Never, ever fool to do those things. Let me give you the fourth thing. Fourth. The resurrection gives us hope. The resurrection gives us comfort. The resurrection gives us endurance to suffer. Number four, the resurrection keeps us faithful. The resurrection keeps us faithful. Similar to the third one, but I had to separate this because look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35. This to me is just amazing. The Bible says that women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Do you hear that? Some were tortured, and they refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. I mean, these men and women of faith were committed to Christ instead of compromising their conviction because they anticipated something better, the resurrection. See, looking and focusing and understanding and having the resurrection in our mind keeps us from compromising our faith. Keeps us from, you know, wavering back and forth. They embraced torture. They accepted imprisonment because they knew that there was something more precious awaiting for them than this life. They kept the faith. They fought the faith because of the resurrection that is to come. Finally, the fifth thing. The resurrection keeps us pure. The resurrection keeps us pure. First John chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. John penned to the churches of Ephesus, we know, who is wavering, thinking going back, who are wavering their faith because they're thinking about going back to the law, because there were antichrists in that church teaching them that they need to go back to the law, that they can, you know God the Father without Jesus. And John penned this note to them. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. That is talking about the resurrection. We'll look at that next time, what it looks like. He continues, but we know that when he appears, when Jesus appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Look at verse 3. And everyone who thus hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. As we hope in Jesus, as he returns and we will be resurrected with him, we purify ourselves as he is pure, as he is holy. I love that, isn't it? You struggle with your holiness, struggle with purity, struggle with your sanctification. Study the resurrection. Look to the resurrection. Because the resurrection, his return, and we are resurrected with him, gives us that commitment and that challenge and that devotion to press on the faith. I remember many times ago, you know, I was dating Dawn, my lovely wife. I mean, she's just gorgeous in my eyes, and I love her. And we were dating. And so, you know, once in a while, I invite her over, cook for her, invite her over to my house. And you know what I do the day that I knew she was going to come over? My heart was throbbing. I was so excited. I didn't sit there idly. I clean up my house, up and down, spotless. I want to make sure everything looks nice, you know, because I make good impression. You know, I want to make sure, you know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right? Wipe everything down, put everything in its place, you know, something that's really momentous me, I put it out to display, and then I look, constantly look, and then wait, and then keep on continuing to cook and do this. I wasn't idle. I was just sitting there twiddling my thumbs. I was anxious, anticipating. I was doing things once or twice. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's been a long time. Until finally when she comes, I was full of joy. See, the resurrection, the return, the looking forward moves us to clean up. To clean ourselves up, to clean the house up, to put everything in order. That's what the resurrection does. The resurrection affects us in so many ways. And that's why I'm so excited to talk about this. It gives us hope. It gives us comfort. It gives us endurance to suffer. It keeps us faithful. And it keeps us pure. And I will conclude with these words of William Barclay. In a slippery world, he's talking about the resurrection, by the way. In a slippery world, it kept him on his feet. In a tempting world, it gives him resistance power. In a hurting world, it enabled him to endure the broken heart or an agonizing body and not to give in. The resurrection is the hope of the Christian believer. Let us pray. Father, as we will delve into the resurrection, we ask, Lord God, that you would inspire us and lift us up and excite us, Father, because of what awaits us. To see you, to see your Son, to be resurrected from this dead body, and to receive a glorious body, a spiritual body, we are so excited and so anticipated. But in the meantime, Father, let us press on in faith. Let us press on in hope that we may please you, Lord God, in all that we do. At least we give thanks to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.